In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We come today to a feast of ends and beginnings. This Sunday is the last Sunday in our Christian year cycle. So the Christian year cycle ends with the Feast of Christ the King, or the Reign of Christ, and next Sunday we begin our journey with Advent through time to eternity again. So today, who is Christ the King? What sort of king is he? Unfortunately, sometimes royalty can have negative connotations, such as arrogance or abuse of power, being out of touch with ordinary folk. But Christ is a very different king, a countercultural or alternative king. Christ, the human face of God, is both humble and holy. A king who knelt before his friends on the dusty ground to wash their feet. So, a man called John, probably not the Apostle John, begins the book of Revelation, the last book in our Bible, with a heartfelt salutation to the Christians in seven churches undergoing persecution and violent oppression. He says, "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come." And so John reminds them right at the beginning of this profoundly political and spiritual book that there is one God who encompasses all of history, a dynamic, not a passive God, one who continues to act in the future as well as the past and the present. The reign of Christ will last through all of time and eternity. Now, this scene in the book of Revelation is the first of two very different scenes placed before us today. Here in Revelation we have vivid imagery and metaphor. It was written in about 100 CE by this passionate man John on the island of Patmos, persecuted and imprisoned for his unwavering commitment to Christ. And the second scene we have today is in the Gospel of John, where the arrested and assaulted Jesus has been brought before the Roman Pilate by some of the religious leaders. In the subsequent dialogue between Jesus and Pilate, Jesus speaks about the truth of his alternative kingdom, prompting Pilate to ask that all-important question: what is truth? This question, of course, has been reverberating through our political discourse for quite a time now. Through the book of Revelation, we are allowed windows into the activity in the heavenly realm. We see the heartfelt worship of God and Christ the Lamb by multitude from many nations, and it's unveiled in such a way that we can almost hear the music of the worship. The images here are what we call apocalyptic images, and we see them also in the book of Daniel that we heard read today, and they are full of symbolism, and although somewhat difficult for us today to completely understand, they have indeed often given hope and continue to do so for many, for their future with God, as they face the end of their lives. So John in Revelation is prophetic of both the present and the future. John shares the vision he has been given with the churches to whom he is writing, for these are communities experiencing violent oppression. And John both challenges and encourages these believers in their faith and action. He presents powerful, gripping images of the historical Christ, who in his unique mission broke the bonds of evil, and in the vision of the crucified Christ, the Lamb of God, where God has the victory. So John is helping the churches to dream of a God-given future in which perpetrators of evil are destroyed. The vision that John has of the heavenly risen Christ is one that includes Christ present now within the communities of faith to which John is writing. And this is the risen Christ who has triumphed over sin and rejection and evil, and now calling his followers to overcome in the face of persecution. Now, we ourselves, in these days, and every day probably, see evil in the world with its grip on systems, and this does not exclude the church. And we see evil in the world with its grip on human beings. So John's vision is a scene of great hope and comfort in our present suffering also, and particularly to those who are oppressed and persecuted in our time. And there are many places where this is happening through the world. Christ, who is the ruler of the kings of earth, as Revelation says, is not, however, like an earthly king, and his kingdom does not come from this world. When we turn to John's Gospel, we see Jesus reversing his interrogation by Pilate in their private session and initiating the discussion about kingship, about kingdom, about regime, about truth. Now, he doesn't directly answer Pilate's question, very wise, but speaks of his regime and what it is not. Now, Pilate doesn't seem to understand this because he's really embedded in quite a different world, isn't he? It is not about domination, but Jesus' regime is about allegiance to God in the world, and it is Jesus' mission to inaugurate this. So, this regime, not from this world, means that it originated with God. Divine truth has invaded the world for the life of the world. And this truth will challenge structures in the world that are opposed to God and will have a ripple effect. Now, Pilate, as I said, embedded in worldly regal systems, could never understand the powerless power of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Although he doesn't deny his kingship, Jesus says that his primary mission is being witness to the truth. The truth is the revelation of God that exposes and strips away delusions and self-centeredness and draws human beings into the divine communion of love. This is so they can share in the eternal life of God. Now, that's for all of us. The truth of the gospel, not from this world, but the allegiance it requires inevitably has social and political consequences in this world. Jesus witnesses to the reality of God and God's claim upon the world, finding its expression in love. Now, when this is lived out in the world, it will threaten and attract the hostility of social structures and regimes that grip so tightly. And in turn, this will create fear, resentment, and hatred from those structures and regimes. Jesus, in the dialogue with Pilate, concludes with an invitation and a warning. Be open to the revelation of God that is entering the world. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. So, a question to ask ourselves: how open to the truth of God, to the truth of Christ, are we? And what about Jesus' relationship to us? Well, the book of Revelation tells us not only does he love us, but he has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom. Now, priests serving his God and Father, serving him with worship and praise. Very interesting from the book of Revelation that worship is our true response to God. And this helps to defeat evil powers, both earthly and heavenly. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever, it shouts. And these words actually affect what they signify. That is, God is recognized and his presence made effective in the world through God's people's praises. So we have an important task this morning through this liturgy as we worship God. The Amen at the end of Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, prepares for God's declaration in verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So the Almighty, the Pantocrator, the one who holds together and controls all things. John, the author of Revelation, had an apocalyptic heart. Where is our apocalyptic heart? For it is a heart which is to beat with those who see no human solution to the pain of people in their community or nation, and a heart which faithfully prays daily, Lord, your kingdom come. So, as John said, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. Amen.